Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. We hope it's treating you good for this May 2nd, 2023, 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Maloff, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Our head of news in this morning, in the studio.
Here I am.
Is there going to be breaking news? Is that
yes,
why you're
breaking
here?
News, James.
Should I get ready for it?
Should you
I,
probably how should.
Should. I, or should I talk
gird
like
your loins.
This? I should probably talk more professional. We got a lot of fun lined up for you this morning. We're going to have some good stuff going on in just a little bit. Melissa and I are going to get into our National Day of Calendar. We're going to have some fun with that. A little bit later, I want to touch on a student who ate a banana they shouldn't have eaten.
Oh, my. Eaten. Banana.
Which is noteworthy because Melissa leaves me a banana all the time, and I eat it nonchalantly.
Yeah,
I don't think
no
about it.
No questions asked?
Yeah, this one.
Now you're going to wonder?
I'm going to wonder after this
is
one.
Is it going to give me ideas?
Maybe. Yeah, now that it's real. Yeah, I just realized it is.
Darn. You do it to yourself, James.
I do. Can you de-stress? We're going to talk about that a little bit and laugh
good.
At it.
Okay.
We'll laugh at this idea, this magical idea
possible?
Of de-stressing. We'll get into that a little bit, too. The number of dog walking injuries has skyrocketed.
Injuries?
Yeah. It's really weird. I want to get into that a little bit, too.
Okay. I have questions.
There was... overnight, there was some... let me get to the rest of the show here before I get ahead of myself. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We will kick it off with our good friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Usually Paul Trombley joins us with a live update of the forecast. Always appreciate that from Paul, and we try not to bug him too much.
Yeah, or come down on him. It's not his fault.
Yeah. Then Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club after that. We're looking forward to it today. 9 o'clock hour, we're going to kick things off with our new friend, Shelby the Pet Nanny.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to her.
She's great. She's really great.
Pet nanny.
With her joining us a little bit later, that we were going to have her join us a week or so ago, and she's with us now. But since she was going to join us like a week or two ago, I had heard from some people that have used her services and cannot rave about her enough.
Awesome.
She's great. So we're looking forward to her joining us.
I like the title. Usually it's pet sitter.
Yes.
But pet
yes.
nanny is a lot more...
Yeah.
Brings things to mind, I guess.
I like that, too.
Yeah, more personable.
The 9 o'clock hour will also feature some entertainment news. I want to touch on the passing of Gordon Lightfoot. Touch on that, of course. And the writer's strike. A couple of other things.
Okay.
Unlike a lot of voices you're going to hear about the writer's strike today, I have an inside on this.
Mm-hmm.
There are not a lot of things I bring to the table, so I'm going to take advantage of
I disagree with that, James. But
I don't know.
Go ahead.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
But this is one thing I can actually talk about and know what I'm talking about. So
right.
We'll get into that in the 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
We'll get into that 9 o'clock hour. Looking forward to it. Morning Magazine today. Going to be a great one as we kick it off for the week. Melanie Wilst and Kelly Higgins are going to join us from the Wisconsin Rapids Kennel Club. We're going to talk fly ball.
Ooh,
yeah, they got a fly ball event coming up at the end of the week here, and I am so excited about this. I'm looking forward
to
talking about it.
I don't know what that is. So
I don't think a lot of people do.
Okay.
And maybe they do, maybe they don't. I'm not sure, but we're looking forward to telling you what it is today. Dogs and sports. Like, come on.
Two of the best things in the world.
Yeah, I don't need much more in life.
I will even admit that.
Yeah, give me some coffee. I'm great. I'm a really good at that. And in part two, we catch up with our great friends on the Southwood County YMCA, Aaron Hess, as the branch executive director over there.
Okay.
Aaron's going to join us. Always like catching up with the Y. It's going to be a really fun show. Looking forward to all of that. Of course, plenty of other things going on this week and throughout the show here. Melissa, how are you doing this morning? How was the drive-in? It looks nice out.
Yeah, it was great. No issues, which is how I liked my drives.
Right.
There was very few cars on the road today.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, at 3:30 in the morning.
Right. Well, that's good to hear. And I suppose kind of understandable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, the last time you drove in, it just wasn't this kind of nice.
No, so. It was a little foggy and there were a lot of deer. I didn't see any deer today. They have found greener pastures further from roads.
Yeah, very smart on their part. especially, I saw those that family of albinos Saturday. I think it was Saturday or Friday.
Cool.
I can't remember, but just it never
They're
gets
pretty.
Old. Yeah, it just never gets old seeing them. I have a place I wanted to start off today, and of course, we usually do cover a lot of Guinness records around here and everything. And I don't normally like make fun of them. I don't normally like find them funny. I find them more interesting. Or
why would somebody do that?
Yeah, yeah, that kind of thing. And the other one that pops in my head is, you know, not necessarily why, but how.
Mm.
How exactly do you come across this particular skill set? At what point in your life do you find you? Let me get into the what this is. A German man was awarded an unusual world record when he assembled a Mr. Potato Head toy in 12.11 seconds while blindfolded.
Wow.
Andre Otloff, a serial world record breaker with more than 100 titles to his name, donned a blindfold and started with a fully dissembled Mr. Potato Head toy, and then added the feet, arms, face, and hat to the plastic spud in 12.11 seconds. I'm not sure if that's the order, but I was kind of curious if that was the order, what order he went in.
Yeah, and then the pieces were probably not tucked inside where they belong.
Right, right. Now, that would be a real challenge, I'd say, getting it out of
them. Because half the battle is getting them out.
Yeah, yes. previously broke the record for the fastest time to finish a Capri Sun after drinking his beverage pouch in 10.41 seconds.
Did he use the straw?
Ah, yes. Because, again, putting the straw in first, right. That's cheating. You got to
take it out of the packaging and put it in.
So right. And you got to get, I would almost say, if you're going to try to break a world record, you got to get it on the first punch.
Mm.
And I don't know, I can hit a nail on the first try, but that Capri Sun thing, at least two or three times
takes
before
practice.
I'm getting it in there.
and you know, sometimes it goes through the back. You miss the pouch entirely. It goes all the way through.
Grew up in construction.
I
one of the earliest things I remember is pounding nails, and not missing because of how big it was with my dad and stuff. It was like a little competition thing with my father and I. But give me 10 Capri Suns in a row, and I've got just stab marks everywhere. To my point before, at what point in your life do you find you have this skill set? And also that you are willing to let other people know that you have this skill set. hey, I don't mean to, brag here or anything, but I have the world record for being able to put a Mr. Potato Head together.
Yeah, and that doesn't even count the numerous hours I spent alone in my basement practicing.
I figured out I'm in the basement, I figure this out, I take the blindfold off, I see the time, I'm like, I just broke a world record. Who do I really want to know about this? I don't feel like this. At what point do you go to your significant other and say, hey, honey, look what I could do. This is pretty good, right? And you just, no. I don't tell anybody you could do that. I don't feel like this is something.
Well, okay, but let's flip this around. Maybe it was the significant other that said, you can do a lot of things with your
very
hands
supportive.
Really fast.
Yes.
Why don't you try this?
Somebody very supportive and everything, yes.
I believe in you.
I don't know which is... So there was a British man that broke the world record with a 17 flesh tunnels, as in piercing. Got a bunch of piercings and stuff.
Okay, I like piercings better.
Yeah,
flesh tunnels is just a disgusting word.
I don't know why UPI.
Why would you come up with that phrase?
UPI, I really like your reporting, but that headline. That headline is a head scratcher.
Well, it's a attention grabber, I guess.
It definitely gets your attention, all right. As if the guy with the 17 holes in his face didn't get your attention enough. You needed a title for that. I don't know what to do with that.
Okay. It doesn't help that I'm also reading the Expanse books.
Yes.
Where they actually, the structures out in space are built of... the alien, flesh-like tunnels and things. So that's immediately where my mind
went.
Brain's
already there. Yeah, I keep coming back to these where if it's something that's unique and it's a record you could break, fantastic. But what is the level of what's the level that you would have to be at to be able to share this with people? There's not many records that I could think of like these that I would necessarily be very, chest out proud and everything that
and
I could
maybe
do.
Maybe it's not just that. For that one guy, it's obviously the number of titles that he has.
Yeah.
So now he's grasping at straws to go, well, what else can I do? There's no way he's going to beat the world records for solving the Rubik's Cube with those kids that can do them in seconds.
Yeah.
Just crazy second.
Not just that, you got kids now, especially you Google strangest world records, the first thing that pops up, most Rubik cubes solved on a skateboard. On a skateboard. Like they're not even it's not even enough to put it together anymore. Now you've got to be on a skateboard, on a unicycle with a dog, you know, that you're walking at the same
that
time.
That can juggle.
While singing the national anthem, like, you know, you got to do all of this at once.
And playing a trumpet.
And maybe that I would share with people. Like, all of that, maybe. But I don't know about Mr. Potato Head guy. I don't know about that. I don't know about
that. Well, I mean, I guess it's one step above how many cans can you stick to your head.
Yeah. There's this straw one. There's somebody who can eat so much spaghetti.
Yeah, catching ping pong balls on your head.
Most blindfolded backwards standing somersaults in 1 minute. Yeah, I wouldn't stop doing, like, showing that. Like, now something
that's
like
impressive.
That,
yeah.
I'm walking up to strangers and I'm like, hey, did you know I have the world record for this? And then I do it. Yeah, and I would annoy, I would be kicked out of that town right away.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with our National Day of Calendar. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio, 7:17 on the clock. Melissa and James here with you as we dive into our National Day of Calendar. We did not get a chance to do this yesterday, but we're going to just go ahead and look at our weeks of as we kick off May here. It's Go Diaper Free Week.
All right.
A week that usually is designed to use cloth diapers and that sort of thing. It is not what I thought, where just let your kids run free. Let them fertilize the yard. Let them. Nope. It is not that. Get yelled at by the neighbors for that. I'm kidding. I'm joking. National Lawyer Well-Being Week.
You know, they got a lot of stress, I would imagine.
We rip on attorneys until we need them. That's just how this works. I come from my mother's side of the family. I have quite a few attorneys on that side of the family and have heard every lawyer joke from them many times. And they're some of the first people that really, when I was growing up in the 80s, a lot of the lawyer chasing ambulance thing.
Yeah.
You don't see as much of it anymore. Now they're a little more, they just advertise everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I still, for the life of me, do not understand how a cowboy hat makes you a better lawyer. I just don't understand that, but I digress. Lawyers are among the most prominent change makers in our society and often are the driving force behind political and cultural reform. But due to the stress of the work, maintaining a sense of well-being can be a challenge. Mental health issues can affect a legal professional. National Lawyer Well-Being Week, therefore, is a chance for all of us, and the general public included, to support attorneys. The purpose is to marshal resources to enhance attorney mental health so that they can continue to perform their vital role in community.
Mm-hmm. Mental health's important in every aspect of work, you know, whatever your workplace is, but they definitely need it as well.
There isn't a job that exists going forward that mental health is not going to play a part in, that mental health should not be brought up in.
Agreed.
Throw it at me, please. 424-2600. Go ahead and call me up and let me know. And outside of maybe the Guinness World Record breaker guys, those people or something, I can't think of anything. I don't care what you do. There is stress. There is problem solving involved that can lead to mental health issues.
Wait, is that a job? Do you get paid for breaking Guinness
World
Records?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But,
just had to ask.
It does seem like some of these, like, it seems like everyone.
They must have.
Yeah. Well, every other one we do, it's like a serial world record breaker. He's got 100 world records. Like, how would you have the time to do that otherwise, and then not getting paid? Maybe somebody's sponsoring. They sponsor influencers nowadays and everything. So maybe somebody sponsored these Guinness
Who
record
knows?
People. I don't know. Or they're just all rich. All of them are just all rich and bored. We just figured it out, Melissa.
That's it.
Every single Guinness World
So is that the only way we're going to be able to do this, James?
That's it. That's
it. We need to be rich and bored.
It's got to be rich. All we got to do is invent something. I am through the... I've never understood the idea of the lottery. More power to everybody that plays it. But to me, I think you're better off just like sitting in your room trying to come up with an invention. I don't know what the odds are of what one would happen more likely. But to me, it seems more likely to invent something than it is to win the lottery. It is Poem on Your Pillow Day.
What's this?
Yeah, that is interesting. Print or write out a poem to leave on the pillow of a loved one or guest. Oh. Maybe a funny poem for a child or a love poem to make your special someone smile. That's nice. It's also would have been nice to know this, like, for a lot of
before
people out
you
there.
Left I'm sure, your pillow.
Before you left your loved one. Yeah.
Well, I suppose you could do it
You can do it tomorrow. Yeah, you can do it tomorrow or tonight or something like that. There's no, you don't need a special day to tell you to tell the people you love them.
That's true.
Poetry is one of the oldest arts in the world. And on May 2nd, Poem on Your Pillow Day sets out to start or finish your day with just a little dash of the magic of poetry. I feel like I'm really popping my peas in this segment. today is a great day to discover or rediscover the charm of the written word. So whether that be haiku, sonnets, songs, poetry could give you a little spring to your step. I don't know if they intended to make that pun with the beginning of spring here or not, but there's never a bad time. Just what we were saying before about mental health and this and that, that there's never a bad time to write or to tell somebody you love, that you
agreed.
Love, care about them. Nurse School Nurse Day, National School Nurse Day.
Ah, very important day.
Yeah, yeah.
Very important.
Man, a big, big, big shout out to one of the most underappreciated people in every elementary school in the world, the school nurse. Think about what the school nurse puts up with.
Yeah.
I'm not even just talking, like, let's not even talk about the sick kids. Let's just talk about the kids that were like me, that didn't like being in school, and I just wanted to hide in there. And they knew. They knew you were hiding. But do you want to lay down for a little bit? This is the thing, I was talking about it yesterday, too. This is part of the reason why I'm so adamant about Crying Wolf, too, though, is a school nurse. Because when I was little, when I first moved out here and stuff, I would go there, and she'd let me hang out and, like, go, lay down for a half an hour or something like that.
Give
or
you
whatever.
A break.
It was around that time I first started getting migraines. And when you're first telling people that you have migraines, especially when you're little, you don't know it's a migraine. You say you have a headache.
Right.
Well, it's a headache. Just lay down or drink some water or something like that. And
here's a Tylenol.
And sure enough, I'd be laying there and still the head is pounding and everything and nothing's working. And I didn't feel like they really believed me. So this is why you do it. I mean, for me at least, I will never cry wolf. Never. Mm. But you will hear, as Mark Twain said, if you tell the truth, you ain't got to remember anything. I'm a truth teller. I learned my lessons early in life about that stuff.
Definitely appreciate school nurses. And in some districts, they don't have enough.
Yeah.
You know, districts that have multiple buildings. From what I've heard here, it sounds like our schools are very well staffed with nurses in the buildings. That wasn't the case in Toma. So I often ended up being the school nurse.
Really?
In high school, yeah. Oh, I have stories.
I can only imagine. I want you to get to the top five of them put together. We're going to do a segment. No, that is rough. That is, I feel for that. I can't even make a joke about that. That's rough.
Well, it's hard because you know who suffers? The kids.
It's the first. Yeah. I mean, as much as I care about you, that's the first thing I thought of. Thought of you too, but I mean, immediately you think of those kids when there's something like that.
Yeah.
Nurses first became employed in schools in Belgium. In 1873, Brussels became the first city to employ a school physician as well as install citywide school inspections. Sorry. While cities such as London had been initiating the beginning of school nurses, it would not be until 1902 that New York City got its first one. Lena Rogers became the first school nurse to work in New York City schools. She helped decrease the rate of communicable diseases and absenteeism in the United States. Thank you, Melissa.
You're welcome.
Since the first, I wouldn't have thought of the absenteeism, but that yes, of course, that would make sense. Oh, yeah. That's interesting. Since the first edition of the school nurse during the 1940s and 50s, schools have put a focus on the health of their students.
That's important, and there's a lot that school nurses can help with in specific situations. One thing that definitely pops to mind is head lice. Because we deal with that still on a very regular basis in this country, and it can be a chronic issue for some.
Back off, lice.
Yeah. Could you just please take a rest?
This task has fallen on nurses as well as teachers, students, and physicians to create a health education curriculum. So do, whenever you have a chance, think about them and give a shout out to our school nurses out there.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
World Asthma Day.
Mm.
I had asthma in school, and I was told I outgrew it. But
that's good.
I do remember having it. I had to quit track and field because of it.
Wow.
It was easily one of the hardest days of school I've ever had. I did not. I had a note from my doctor, and I went from the appointment to practice. And so my mom and dad were not in the middle of this. And I had this information just to myself.
Yeah.
And I love track and field. I love to run. I love to jump. I did not want to pass that note to that. I had a good 5 or 10 minutes there where I had the decision of, what am I going to do with this? Am I going to be honest about it? Am I going to just keep it to myself and just try to... I told my coach.
Well, that was probably for the best. Because asthma can be scary.
Yeah.
And in some cases, it very, very worrisome. So it's a difficult thing to deal with when you can't breathe.
Yeah. And I feel for anybody that struggles with any things like that under that umbrella. But man, you just put it perfectly. Anything that you can't breathe, like the most natural thing we do in life, mm-hmm. having that affected, that's not right. National Brothers and Sisters Day.
Hey.
Yeah.
Love you, my brothers.
Love my brother and sister.
I don't have a sister.
I have a sister. I have a cartoon character for a sister. Take a moment to appreciate the bond you have with your siblings, whether you're close or have your ups and downs. They're a part of your family and life's journey.
Mm-hmm.
I think I ramble enough about my brother and sister, so I don't think I need to too much. But I've said my whole life, they're my backbeat and backbone. Mm-hmm. I literally don't know what I'd be without them. They're a huge part of my life and two of the greatest friends I'll ever have, along with being my brother and sister. There's nobody in the world that has has grown up the way you did or has the DNA that you do or these kind of things.
The understandings of your environment that you grew up in and schools and, yeah.
It's magical, too. When you see siblings connect that maybe haven't had a chance to before or any of these things, the bonds with siblings is the most one of the most unique things in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
We see stories all the time about long lost brother and sister or brother and brother or whatever that didn't even know about each other
separated at birth.
Yeah, they find each other 50 years later and they find they have all these things in common and they're so alike and everything.
Same habits.
It's crazy how much can be that way. Even if you didn't grow up in the same environment or with the same set of parents, you know, maybe a different mom, different dad, then, you know, or whatever. It shows the connection. Yeah, it shows how beautiful that connection and how strong that bond is. Let's see here. It is Baby Day.
Baby.
This is the one day we... visit your friends with children, read about parenting if you're considering having your own little ones, or even volunteer at a daycare or other baby-centric event. I would say also this is a very important day to think about our children and think about, healthcare and universal healthcare or whatever you want to talk about when it comes to healthcare. Just something better than what we're doing right now.
Yeah. Okay. The future for our children.
I'm honestly willing to listen to most any ideas right now other than just keep on doing what we're doing because it just is easy and it's what we've always done. The healthcare system is broken. It has been broken for a very longer than Melissa and I have been alive.
I mean, the fact that so many people are suffering bankruptcy because of our healthcare system is a travesty.
And it's happening on all of our watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just keep kind of rolling with it and just kind of let these corporations and these pharmaceutical companies and insurance companies just kind of run game on our health.
Well, and what's happening in Wisconsin with rural maternity wards closing, women have less access to maternity care to have a baby.
I think I need a break. Or I need to relax, or I need a vacation or something. I just took the sweetest, cutest, most wonderful thing in the world, babies, and flipped it into some, you know, subject that I could get as a soapbox about. I think I need a break.
But it's the reality that we live in, James.
It is.
And as much as babies are wonderful and cute and beautiful little bundles of joy, we need to have the structure to be able to help care for them.
Well
and
said.
So that's something that we need to fight for daily and talk about, because if we don't talk about it, you can't just brush it under the rug.
Mm, that's how we got here. Brushing it under the rug or kicking the can down the road.
Yeah.
It is International Harry Potter Day.
Hey.
Certainly, you're a Harry Potter fan. Go ahead and enjoy the books. If you are an actor, maybe you want to try out for the new TV show. I threw my name into the running.
Did you?
I'm not English, so I don't think I'll be cast. But maybe there's an American part. Maybe.
You never know.
I don't do a horrible English accent. It's just one of those things that I believe that people from England probably can do it bloody well better. So,
possibly, but you know, hey.
But I am trying. It's it's actually going to be filmed over there too, so that part would be very exciting.
That would be cool.
But that audition isn't for 7 months.
Oofta.
Yeah, yeah, it's weird. I haven't had one that far out in a long time. And finally, it is Harry Potter, a big series. Like, I know that there's been some books since then.
Some controversy.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. With the author? Absolutely, yes. That's a whole other topic.
Do you know, is she involved in the TV show?
Not really. In fact, I believe that they have done everything they can to kind of keep her from it, but I don't know 100% about that.
Yeah, and unless she sold her rights to
it. Right, which I don't believe she did. Okay, I don't believe she did.
She's probably got some level of involvement. But
she also, you know, in some, whether we like to admit this or not, she is, I think, pretty smart about her career, you know, notwithstanding some of the things she said lately. We're talking about J.K. Rowling, by the way.
Yes.
And when it comes to her, like, she's been very smart as far as owning copyright of her stuff, like, from the beginning and everything. So I think you're right. I think there's a point there. But those books were magical.
The books were great. I love the books. Yes, they were magical. You're so bad. You're so
horrible.
Bad. If you
I'm
would
horrible.
Just keep rolling with it, though, it'd be fine.
No, but I just—you have to call out how horrible my writing is. I'm firing all my writers.
I liked the books a whole lot more than the movies. I liked the first movie, but after that, for some reason, they just got dark. And by dark, I mean the screen was dark.
Yes,
I felt like I couldn't see what was going on the screen because everything was so dark.
They did way too much of that, and there's been a problem with that for a long time. And especially with, interestingly enough, anything that is filmed by the BBC or filmed overseas.
So it what, always do we got to like the set the brightness on my screen
I don't
higher?
Know. Yeah,
I tried that.
It
doesn't
work
really
me.
Work a
yeah,
whole
it doesn't.
Very well.
It makes it, you know, blurry.
Weird. The colors
are
weird.
Yeah, distorts the colors and stuff. But I will say again, some of the brilliance of those books is them aging with the readers. The main core of readers for those first books, by the last book, they're as old as Harry.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really smartly done.
Yeah,
something like that, I don't remember that being done before. And I think more people should do things like that, more centered around not so much just one audience, but, you know, centered around that growth of youth,
from
a kid to, you know.
Yeah. Because as an adult reading those, that was still a nice progression to see that and to see the characters age as they go, as opposed to, you know, I've got a great storyline, I've got a great story, they're just this age forever. That doesn't work as well.
No, it doesn't. No, I like when a story ages characters. Mm-hmm. I really do. And I think it benefits the reader as well, especially young readers. I'm with you. I'm not a huge fan of the movies, but I love so many of the actors in them.
Yeah.
I will follow Daniel Radcliffe's career the rest of his life.
Yes.
Almost every great English actor was in those. Dame Maggie Smith, you know, Kenneth Branagh. It was, one of the last. Gary Oldman. For God's sake, Gary Oldman is Sirius Black. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, to me, the pinnacle of great English actors is Gary Oldman, and he's in it. So, yeah.
I will probably watch the rest of the movies at some point in time. Just I haven't seen them all. No, I haven't seen the last, I don't know, three, maybe, or something. I don't even remember.
And finally, it is National Teacher Day.
Woohoo! Celebrate teachers. Teachers are amazing.
I like this line. If children are the future, teachers are the ones making sure the future is a good one.
Yes.
That's a good line. Yes. I like that.
We need to appreciate our teachers more and the difficult, difficult job that they do.
Yeah. It is one of the definitions of armchair quarterback when we call out our teachers or we do things towards our teachers that we don't even understand. Like, so many people are doing these things and haven't walked into a classroom since sixth grade. Or haven't talked to their kids or haven't talked to the teacher
about
these
things.
They just want to bark and you know. I mean,
that's just noise.
It's just noise. Nobody hears that. Nobody understands.
If you have a serious issue with teachers, talk to them.
Yeah.
That's the only way you're going to figure out or find out if your issue, your beef, has any merit.
Nothing is, nobody is above criticism. Nobody, and there's no job.
And teachers do things wrong, too.
Yeah. So I'm not at all saying that parents don't have a right to obviously say something or whatever. But for the love of God, think and talk before you go barking or jumping on Facebook and writing a post about this or whatever. Like, look at what happened with the whole cat litter thing in schools. That's an Onion headline. That is a Onion headline that 90...
But it was turned into something people actually believe.
People actually believe that
stuff?
There
are actually... There's still people that believe it, James.
What the what?
It's ridiculous.
What is wrong with you? Seriously, how did you make it this far in life that you think that any school in America would allow... A kitty litter box in a children's bathroom. The fact that you can logically, like somehow in your brain, make that connection. How did you make it this far, whatever age you are? And I'm sorry that that's not we're supposed to be polite to people and everything like that. There are certain topics, there are certain things that I do not have the patience for anymore. And when we're holding things up on our teachers enough, we keep pulling from education. We keep doing this. We keep doing that. And what do we do in return? You're doing this wrong, teachers. You're doing that wrong, teachers. And then we wonder why we don't have enough teachers. It's ridiculous. We keep shooting ourselves in the foot in society, and nobody wonders why we keep losing toes.
Yeah.
Let's figure this out, everybody. Let's work together here. Let's talk this out, and then I'll stop getting on soapboxes. Because honestly, this thing is rickety. I can't keep doing this. I keep jumping on it, and the thing is not going to hold up much longer.
You need more nails in that one corner, I think, if you reinforce that, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't weigh that much, Melissa. I weigh about it. I realized this the other day, especially young me. Weighed about as much as a good kite. Not like one of those cheap raggedy ones. I mean, a good one. A well-built kite. Yeah.
A nice structure.
Yeah. We'll take a commercial break. Appreciate teachers.
They're amazing.
Yes, we appreciate you, teachers. Get to Melissa's news. We'll come back, have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa and James with you at 7:42 on the clock. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday. We hope it is treating you good. We have a great one to get into right now, but a little bit later, I want to get into a great debate with you, Melissa.
Oh, dear.
Is cereal soup? And other and five more ridiculous questions.
Okay, good.
Yes, yes. We'll get into that in the 8 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. Right now, I wanted to touch on this one. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, and I think I brought this up before, since Melissa's been here, she's been helping me with eating a little bit better. And it's slowly. She's very smart about this. She has done this in slow steps. Every once in a while, she leaves me a banana. And usually with a funny mean note. Yeah, with a funny or a mean note, yes. which I greatly appreciate. There's never been a time I did not laugh and startle Pam or something like that or whatever. So I was thinking of that story as soon as I saw, thinking about that as soon as I saw this story. There is an art piece at a museum in South Korea, which is a banana duct taped to a wall. That's it. An Italian artist named Maurizio Calatanari has created multiple versions of it, and one sold for $120,000.
Wow.
That was back in 19. Last week, an art student walked up to the banana, removed it, ate it, then taped the peel back to the wall.
So it was a real banana.
Yeah.
Okay.
As a side note, I don't know how long that banana was there either, though. Maybe they changed the banana, or I don't know, but yeah.
Okay.
The museum says the student told them he ate the banana, quote, because he was hungry. The museum replaced the peel with a fresh banana. They notified the artist, but he didn't have any reaction to it. That's possibly because this happened before when the previous version was displayed in 2019. That's probably the dumbest thing about the whole situation. Everyone knows this is ridiculous, except anyone who's tricked into buying it. The artwork is called Comedian, and the artist is known for satire pieces. The museum replaces a banana every few days anyway, so there's nothing up special about it. And the art student clearly knew that it was, quote, art and not a free snack. So no one is taking this seriously. But he missed the mark here.
Really?
He missed the golden opportunity.
Who did?
This art student.
Okay.
You don't put the peel back. come on, you put the peel on the floor so somebody can slip on it. This is one of the oldest bits in comedy.
Perhaps.
You realize cave people did this to each other. That's where that came from. You look at cave writings and there's people slipping it. Another person pointing at the person to laugh. No, I'm joking. How great would that be, though? We find some cave like installation or something like that from billions of years ago, and they've got this guy slipping on a banana.
Comic strip on the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think he missed the golden opportunity of the next interpretation of this art piece. Because, I mean, well, and also, what art museum takes on the financial obligation to refresh somebody's artwork regularly? Like, I could put together artwork of a fruit bowl, and here you go. Now you just need to replace this fruit every 5 days.
That is a bit of a commitment, yeah. Especially, I'm guessing, what I know of it, too. Italy is a much better than we are as far as taking money from the arts and not putting money into the arts and things like that. And
but really, a banana duct taped to a wall? I mean, and is it even the artist's, you know, interpretation then? Is because the banana's going to be differently shaped every single time?
I'm a little kid. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Melissa. I thought you were done.
No, it's a different shaped banana. The how the tape is placed. I mean, how is it original if they're changing it every few days?
I grew up loving art. My mom and I going to the Art and History Museum in Chicago and things. And her, you know, telling me art and trying to understand it. And I never understood what is art and what isn't. I'm a little kid. My mom loves Andy Warhol. And she thinks he's just amazing and stuff. And just telling me all about him. And so, Jimmy, this is Andy Warhol's soup cans. And it's a couple of Campbell's cans just painted differently. Like, it's cool looking and all, but I mean, sure. I see that price tag and I hear everybody talking about it. I'm like, what's going on here? What am I missing? I honestly, art made me feel stupid when I was little. I'll be completely honest. I had this.
You don't think you're alone, James.
Brilliant, intelligent human being that was raising me as my mother and everything, and I did not feel like I had the same brain. I did not feel like I got that brain. I got her hair and that was it. I did not get the brain or anything. And the guilt. As I got older, I finally realized that art is art. Art is what you is what you think. Everybody takes a different interpretation of it.
Yeah. And some it's okay if some of us think, well, that's just a soup can and I don't care. Yeah. I would never pay that price for it.
Somebody,
that's okay.
Yeah, somebody's going to see that and, oh my God, look at that soup can. You know, and that's what it's about. That's to your point, though, I don't know how you pull this off. Like, you're even calling it comedian. Like, you couldn't be more blunt about what
and
a joke
how much
this
did
is.
It sell for?
$120,000.
What? So the person bought it and could replace the banana on their own?
I guess. I mean, you didn't. It's not like you get the wall. Like, it's just the banana and the duct tape, maybe? Like, do you even get the duct tape?
Is it affixed to a piece of sheetrock?
Man, I'm paying that much money. You better at least give me a roll of duct tape. Like, at least.
And a lifetime supply of bananas that show up at my house every 3 days.
That would be pretty cool. Actually, that might be almost, I don't know if it'd be worth that much, but that does sound like a good deal. I actually like that idea. Take a break.
Obviously bought by somebody who has nothing better to do with their money.
Yeah, like helping homeless people or feed people or our education system or a billion other things. Yeah. Take a commercial break. Come back. More fun on the line and in store coming up on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Hopefully you're having a great start to your Tuesday out there, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Mm-hmm. If you are walking your dog this morning, take it easy. Take your time.
Be careful.
Yeah. A lot of people enjoy walking their dogs. It's a nice way to get some steps in. It gives you a chance to get out and see what's happening in the neighborhood. Or it might just be an opportunity to clear your head. But it can also be dangerous.
Okay.
Researchers from Johns Hopkins University released the results of a study where they found that the number of dog walking injuries has quadrupled in the past 20 years.
Whoa.
And over two decades, 422,000 people have gone to the emergency room after being hurt walking their dogs.
Wow.
Women and people ages 40 to 64 made up the most of these patients. The most common injuries were finger fractures, traumatic brain injuries, and shoulder sprains and strains.
Oh, my.
And some tips to make dog walking safer include shorter leashes to avoid tripping on them. Mm-hmm. Avoiding places where a dog is known to be distracted and yank and pull, which mm-hmm. is where a lot of these strains and pulls come from.
Okay, okay. Fractured fingers, probably.
Yes. And using front attaching harnesses to help keep the dog from pulling. One of the greatest things you can do for your dog is getting away from the neck harness and going to the body harness.
Yeah. The neck collars are dangerous for the dogs, too.
It's also a lot safer for you. Mm. Even if it's just a soreness mm-hmm. after walking the dog that you feel, try a different harness. I promise it's going to be different. It's going to be a game changer for you. And the dog's going to love it.
Yeah.
Another thing to consider that I'm very disappointed in the Washington Post, I look at the Washington Post every morning before I get going on my day and stuff. It's one mm-hmm. of them, the New York Times. There's a handful of them that I look at. Obviously, our local papers, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. I look at those. I very much value the reporting done by the Washington Post. I think they do have very good reporting. Not in this article. I was very disappointed okay. in this. They did not give you all the information.
Mm.
I'm not at all saying that there are dog injuries and that this isn't something we should pay attention to. But they also don't tell you that in the last 20 years, what's one of the things that has skyrocketed? Dog owners. We've got a lot more, a gigantic amount of people, more mm. people having dogs than we ever did before. Mm-hmm. So by the law of averages, yes, you are going to have more
increase of injuries.
Yeah. Not to mention, I'm in this age range, so I ain't picking on it, but 40 to 64, it isn't as if we're running marathons every day.
Right.
Maybe some of us.
Well, some of us.
Some of us are, and more power to you.
Yeah.
But it
make not, up for the rest of us.
Yeah, please, and thank you. Actually, I want to be one of those people. I'm working to be a marathon runner one day.
Okay, more power to you.
I want to do it. I like running.
Yeah. Well, then I think you can.
I'm not saying that that's the whole cause and effect. More dogs equals more injuries. There, we're done with the conversation.
Well, but that is the law of averages.
Yeah, and it is part that it is something that I was very disappointed wasn't really brought up in the article. especially because this is something that. Look, we have talked about with our mayor. We've talked about with other people in Morning Magazine. If you are looking to help your population, so a lot of towns like ours and all of our surrounding areas, anything outside of an Appleton, a Madison, or a Milwaukee, mm-hmm. outside of those big major metropolitan areas. I include Appleton just because I think of Oscosh right there too.
Yeah,
and some of that
stuff. It's a
pretty
big area.
Yeah, you could include La Crosse maybe into this, mm-hmm. but outside of these things here, everybody is just trying to keep the population they have.
Right.
And that can be kind of difficult considering a lot of us have a senior population that is, passing mm-hmm. And a younger generation that is growing, graduating high school and moving and leaving the area.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep that population? You ask any mayor that has an increase or has been able to keep their population, or you ask any town what the most common thing is. Yeah, taxes, taking care of schools, a lot of the things that you would know. But over the last 20 years, the data is right there. There is a common theme, dog-friendly areas.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I mean, it sounds a little silly in some ways and everything, but it's a big factor.
It is a big factor. The other problem that contributes to, I would say, that is dog-friendly housing.
Yes.
Or housing, period. But yeah. also animal pet-friendly housing, because that is very difficult to find, especially in an affordable price range. And I don't know if you saw the data that just came out from the Alice study yeah. that they did in the county. I actually emailed the guy that contacted us with that and asked to have a short interview with them about where they got their numbers, because the rental amounts that they had in that study, specifically for Wood County, were tremendously lower than what people are actually paying in our county. $465. I don't know where you rent someplace that cheap in Wood County. I mean, if that's how much you pay and it's, more than a studio apartment, please let us know. Because yeah. I don't think those numbers are accurate. But then the majority of places don't allow pets because pets are destructive. And if owners aren't responsible for their pets, that's, problematic for the landlord. So I can see both sides of the problem. But the biggest issue is we need more housing.
I think the ALIS report is something that we're going to dive into. I know we are going to dive into it, and looking forward to hearing more about that and reading more in depth about it. There's a number of factors here that we need to focus on and think of when it comes to this, as far as the animals or dogs or any of these things. But it's not enough to just put a dog park.
Because you got to have a place for the humans to live to take care of the dogs. But the dog park opening up here in town is exciting.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, in this area, every area can improve, certainly, in many ways. I would say this area has always been pretty dog friendly. Mm-hmm. Renting wise and all that, that's a different subject. But as far as the area and the way it has been, I would say that's always been pretty friendly. Pretty doggone friendly, you might say. I don't know. I was trying to think of a connection between this and Hoozle's Rise music.
Three Dog Night.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. You could sing them if you're a contestant. Rise to music. That's happening this summer. We're really excited about this, James.
Very.
Stephanie worked so hard on this. This is going to be the second year that we've got Hoozle's Rise to Music at the Hoozle's location in Rome. So the registration is open right now.
Right now.
And I would suggest that you register because these slots are going to fill up fast.
Ooh, yeah.
So you just head to hoozlesrisetomusic.com and you need to have a minimum of 15 minutes for your performance time. The fun part is, though, afterwards, everybody jams together.
Yeah, it's so great.
But you're going to have the opportunity to meet other musicians, to get out in front of a crowd and perform where you may not have had a chance to before. But even if you have, get out there and then everybody else, mark your Thursdays.
Yes. Hoozles at the Lakes and 105.5 WIRI are proud to announce the second annual Hoozles Rise to Music Competition. This kicks off Thursday, June 8th. From then on, your Thursdays are covered. Mm-hmm. We are going to be meeting you at Hoozles and having a lot of fun with this. As far as fans of this event, you can just go ahead and mark your calendar, get ready for it that way.
Yeah.
To all you musicians out there, as Melissa told you, get in on this and get your slot.
Because you've got an even broader audience to hear you this time between our Director's Cut show and throughout civic media with the Max Inc. Radio. I mean, we're excited to help promote you, our local musicians.
Civic media is all about local, and this is another way of us supporting local, of contributing to that great, you know, thing that we have here in the arts in Wisconsin.
And the prizes are awesome, too. You're going to get to perform for the rafters.
That is awesome. That is really cool.
At the ballpark.
Man, that's cool.
It is cool.
We encourage you to find out more about this and join, and of course, spread the word to everybody. Fans, music, just anybody, strangers, go up to them. You never hear about Hoozle's Rise Music, too? It's coming back, baby. Find out more at WFHR.com. And of course, visit our friends at their website over at Hoozle's at the Lakes. That's hoozlesatthelakes.com.
Hoozle's Rise to Music.com.
Yeah. Take a break. We'll come back and have more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR.